Although the title of this talk is about affirmations, we're going to talk about more than just that. So can all of you hear me?
Yes, good.
Good, good. Thank you. To get started, let's review exactly what affirmations are. For some of you, this is old hat. For others, it might be new, and I want to make sure we're all starting on the same page. An affirmation is, at its simplest, a statement. When they're used in the world of self-help, the purpose is to reprogram the subconscious so we can improve our lives. So what is the subconscious mind? There are many definitions, but I like the one by Reverend William T. Walsh. He says, the subconscious part of us is called the subjective mind because it does not decide and command. It is a subject rather than a ruler. Its nature is to do what it is told or what really in your heart of hearts you desire. So if this subconscious mind does what it's told, why is it so stubborn? Because from past lives and present ones, we have little by little programmed it with our unconscious commands, resulting in a servant that's a little like a computer from the Twilight Zone, doing exactly what it was programmed to do, but not what the master wants. So we want to reprogram it with affirmations, stating what we want to manifest and what we want to believe. Then we walk in and take charge. I've used affirmations for several decades now, and I can attest to their positive effect on my life. I've also learned about how to use them and how not to use them. The elements of a traditional affirmation are, one, they need to be short. If they go on and on, they lose their power because the subconscious mind, and probably you, have gotten bored with them. They need punch. They must be in the present tense as if they're already happened. In other words, you would say, I'm so happy and thankful that I have a job I love which pays me lavishly. To say, I will have a great job means that your job's not here and it will stay in the future. They must be positive. For some reason, the subconscious mind does not pick up the word not. It hears what's called the punch word. So, for instance, if you say, I am not sick, your subconscious mind will filter out the not, pay attention to the punch word, which is sick, and create the condition for you of your being sick. Instead, say, I am vital and healthy. It must be believable. At least one molecule of your being must believe it could happen. Affirmations should stretch us and our beliefs, but not go beyond what we could imagine. Otherwise, there may be a boomerang effect. Your subconscious will tell you, oh, you're such a liar. That could never happen. Because your subconscious mind pretty much drives everything you do, it's really important to work with it. I like to incorporate a word or two of gratitude. Gratitude seems to have some sort of power that increases the energy of anything we do or say. Now, it must be about you and you alone. You can't make Fred pay you the money he owes you by affirming it. And you can't make that person you long for love you by using affirmations. At least I've never seen it work. However, you can attract the money or the relationship or the job or whatever you want by using affirmations. Part of the reason that affirmations work is they can reprogram your subconscious. And you have to make them work, too, by taking positive actions. Now, in order for affirmations to have power in your life, you must develop a self-image that is compatible with what you want. Your first affirmations might even be in this area of self-image. Many years ago, my self-image was very low. I remember once Robin Williams saying something was lower than warm sweat, and that was about where my self-image was. But after reading a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz in the 70s,
I decided to do something about it. It took a long time and a lot of affirmations, meditation study, cassette tapes, and reading, but I finally gained a bit of self-confidence. Now, some people think I may have too much, but I'm not going back.
A new edition of that book was released in 2001 with a lot of updates by Dan Kennedy. There's even a Psycho-Cybernetics Foundation to help people improve their self-image. Here's what Dr. Maltz originally had to say about self-image. Self-image is the common denominator, the determining factor in all our case histories, the failures as well as the success. The secret is this: to really live, that is to find life reasonably satisfying, you must have an adequate and realistic self-image that you can live with. You must find yourself acceptable to you. You must have a wholesome self-esteem. You must have a self that you can trust and believe in. You must have a self you are not ashamed to be, and one that you can feel free to express creatively rather than hide or cover up. You must know yourself and be honest with yourself. Your self-image must be a reasonable approximation of you, by neither more or less than you are. When this self-image is intact and secure, you feel good. When it's threatened, you feel anxious and insecure. So having a healthy self-image is one reason that affirmations can work. Having a poor self-image is a reason they might not work. Because when you look at yourself, you might say, well, I just can't have that, or this is just the way I am. So you want to change your self-image. To review, the steps in creating a powerful affirmation are: decide what you want. I always seem to start here, don't I? But unless we know what we want or where we want to go, our chances of getting there are not so good. Once you decide what you want, write an affirmation that says it in a powerful way. And repeat your affirmation up to a million times, until you get a sense that it has penetrated every sense of your body. When I was first working with my self-image, I would pace back and forth and back and forth and repeat different affirmations hundreds, even thousands of times until it clicked and I felt a little bit better about myself. So now I want to talk about some scientific evidence that has been brought to light about why and how affirmations can be so powerful. We have learned that they can actually change the makeup of your brain and your very DNA. Two researchers, Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman, have written a book called Words Can Change Your Brain. They say that words can strengthen genes. Positive words can strengthen genes, and hostile words can disrupt certain genes. They say by holding a positive and optimistic word in your mind, you can stimulate frontal lobe activity. This area includes specific language centers that connect directly to the motor cortex responsible for moving you into action. The longer you concentrate on positive words, the more you begin to affect other areas of the brain. Functions in the parietal lobe start to change, which changes your perception of yourself and the people you interact with. A positive view of yourself will bias you towards seeing the good in others, whereas a negative self-image will include you towards suspicion and doubt. Over time, the structure of your thalamus will also change in response to your conscious words, thoughts, and feelings. And they believe that the thalamic changes affect the way in which you perceive reality. Boy, that's pretty powerful. They go on to say angry words send alarm messages through the brain, and they partially shut down the logic and reasoning centers located in the frontal lobes. Excuse me. I found a website called positivewordsresearch.com, and they have a lot of resources that I think you'll find attractive. You can even download a free ebook about this topic. So a lot of research has been done on brain changes with words. But how about this? Russian scientists have been studying the effects of words and their vibrations on DNA. Current Western science says that only 10% of our DNA is used for building proteins, and they spend their entire time researching this. They call the remaining 90% junk DNA. But leave it to the Russians. The Russian researchers, however, convinced that nature was not dumb, joined linguists and geneticists in a venture to explore those 90% of junk DNA. Their results, findings, and conclusions are revolutionary. According to them, our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but also serves as data storage and in communication. The linguists found that the genetic code, especially in the apparently useless 90%, follows the same rules as all our human languages. They found that the alkalines in our DNA follow a regular grammar and have set rules just like our languages. So human languages did not appear coincidentally, but are a reflection of our inherent DNA. In other words, what the spiritual masters have known for millennia, that our bodies are programmable by language, words, and thoughts, has now been scientifically proven and explained. This phenomenon is now called hypercommunication. This is the term used to describe situations where someone suddenly accesses information outside his or her personal knowledge base. Have you ever had those experiences where somehow you maybe knew who was on the phone calling you, or you just had a feeling that your child was in trouble, or you just had those little nagging feelings, I call them little voices, that you should take a certain route or do a certain action? But wait, there's more. The Russian scientists also found out that our DNA can cause disturbing patterns in a little vacuum and produce magnetized wormholes. Now, on the larger scale, wormholes are tunnel connections between entire different areas in the universe through which information can be transmitted outside of space and time. The DNA attracts these bits of information and passes them on to our consciousness. This process of hypercommunication is most effective in a state of relaxation. So stress or worries or a hyperactive intellect prevents successful hypercommunication, or the information will be totally distorted and useless. So we now know that just as on the internet, our DNA can feed its proper DNA into the network, it can call up data from this network and establish contact with other participants in the network. Remote healing, telepathy or remote sensing about the state of relatives or something like that, or remote viewing, can now be explained. Rupert Sheldrake wrote a book that says dogs who know when their owners are coming home. And animals have not lost this sense of hypercommunication. We humans, however, have lost this ability to a large part due to stress, worry, lack of phone, lack of focus, called smartphones, and other modern influences. But we can regain it with practice. We can regain it with affirmations, with focus, with meditation. So DNA science has finally explained all these previously mysterious phenomena, such as clairvoyance, intuition, hands-free healing, supernatural light and auras, and all of these mysteries that we've heard about our whole lives.
When we use affirmations, then, we need to treat them as sacred. By this, I mean that when we're working to create something in our lives, we must focus on keeping that affirmation pure in our lives 24/7. When we get into a negative mindset about anything, we sully the effects and the power of the affirmation. So when you're creatively working with an affirmation and you have a negative thought, immediately transmute it by restating your affirmation several times. After a while, I have found for myself anyway, that it becomes a habit, that when I begin thinking negatively, or I get into a negative frame of mind, or I'm having a pity party, something like that, I'm getting better at becoming aware of it and switching to positive thoughts, to positive statements, positive affirmations, or just gratitude. You may not think your words can affect your life, and many people don't think that, but as we've learned today, words can change your brain, your genetic makeup, and your DNA. It can even affect your ability to access higher consciousness. Now that you know all this, what are you going to do with it? There's a lot to think about with all this information. I'm going to open the phone lines now for comments and questions. I'd really be interested to know what you think about all this information and how it might change how you're approaching affirmations. You can unmute yourself by pressing *6. If that doesn't work, press *6 again. And when you're done talking, press *6 so we don't get a lot of line noise. So anybody who is listening, I'd really appreciate what you think about all this.
Pam, are you there?
I'm there. Are you there?
I certainly am, absolutely. The comment about animals having the hyper-perception, I used to raise guinea pigs, those little funny little rodent guys, right?
Yeah.
And during summer, they lived out on my front lawn. And I was teaching school at the time, so I would get home earlier than my wife would. She could be 3 or 4 blocks away, and they knew she was coming. And they would start squeaking and going crazy until she came in the driveway. And she said the same thing was true when I was coming home and she was there already. They sensed me, you know, several blocks away and started reacting to my approach long before I could actually be heard visibly.
That's amazing. But, again, they're not limited by all of our negative thoughts, are they?
No, not at all.
That had to be a lot of fun to watch, too.
Oh, it was funny. They just yip and scream and yell and make all kinds of funny little noises. And I thought, oh, Gail's coming home, you know.
That's great. And it's interesting to know that with practice, we can actually access this type of information ourselves.
I used to do programming for Hewlett-Packard when I worked for them. And there'd be times when I came to a point where I had some really difficult problem that I couldn't figure out, you know, how to code. I would go to bed, and I'd have a notebook next to me, and I would wake up at like 3 in the morning, and I'd actually be seeing the code in my mind. So I were looking at a blank piece of paper, and I would write that code down, and I'd enter it in the computer the next day, and it would perform flawlessly.
Wow. I can believe that. I think that, to a large extent, is how people like Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla got a lot of their information. And that's, you know, that's another good use for affirmations, is program yourself prior to falling asleep with what you want to know by saying, when I wake, I will know this, or I will have this, or something. And it is amazing how we can program our brain like that.
Be willing to have a notepad and a pen or a pencil next to you, because you're kind of saying to the spiritual world, hey, I'm ready for the information, and I've got the tools ready to go ahead and write it down so I don't forget it.
And that's a good idea. That's a good idea. It puts the universe and your subconscious on notice that you're really serious about it, huh?
Yeah. If you go to bed and you don't have any equipment around you to record the thoughts, they may come, but they may be there for a fleeting moment, and then when you try and remember, when you wake up the next morning, they're gone.
Boy, isn't that the truth, because you're kind of in a little twilight zone there,
mm-hmm.
consciously.
Right.
So, great idea. Thank you, Dawn.
For now.
Anybody else have any comments?
Thanks for your research, Pam, and thanks also for emphasizing about they need to be realistic, because that was something that I've continued to be aware of and to try to teach that, and you've explained it really well.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah, I appreciate that, and I sort of learned that through experience, too, that if I went too far beyond what I could, at least a little bit of me, accept, it was just like talking to a blank wall.
Yeah, it just sets up resistance, doesn't it? So
it does. It does, yeah. And then I lose all credibility with myself.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Exactly.
So, yes, thank you for that observation. It is so important. And I'm glad you're teaching other people that.
Well, having to practice it first.
Yeah, there is that part.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Lynn. This is Lynn, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. Great. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Going.
Yep.
Don?
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other comment. For those who are comfortable using a pendulum, I don't know how many people in the group listening are comfortable doing that, but you can always use your pendulum and find out whether or not the thing you're asking for seems possible or credible before you go ahead and do the affirmation. And if it's not, then find out why you don't believe that that's possible. Get that stuff out of the way so your affirmation will be effective.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good idea. I like that. Yeah. It'll save a lot of time and frustration.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you may be just kind of, blasting it into the wind because you're saying the affirmation, but your subconscious is saying to itself, well, I don't believe that. I can't do that. That's why you have to
right.
check to see whether or not your subconscious believes that the thing you're asking for is possible.
That is such a good point. I appreciate that. Good. Good. Thank you, both of you, for joining in on the conversation, because I certainly don't have all the answers.
Together.
Although I guess with practice, maybe I could access them, right?
Right.
Okay, anything else? Well, thank you all for joining me, and we will be back next month with, I don't have a date yet, I'll put it on my website and send out notifications. And I send blessings to all of you.
And to you, Pam. Thanks for all the work and just setting this up. It's really helpful.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. It's my service to spirit. So.
It's a great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Thanks, Tina.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't wait for the recording because I'm now confused. So I'm going to re-listen before I say.
That's why I put the recordings on the website. So it should be up within 24 hours.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you all. And have
thanks
a beautiful
you.
Evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.